Evening, Pastor Jamie. Evening, guys. Nice, nice, nice. That was awesome. That was great. You guys are so chatty. little personal story about myself, and Rachel's always found this really, really funny. Whenever we go to the zoo, I always like to find those animals that could absolutely destroy you if we're in the wild and just stare at them for a while. This sounds kind of funny, but going up to a big silverback gorilla and being like, you could just, I'd be just pulled apart. I'd be gone, right? There's no way of me stopping you. And then we go to the crocodiles and we see those death logs floating towards you and you're like, nope, couldn't swim away from you. I'd be gone. And then you get to the lions and you're like, oh, those are big. And they're just really intimidating. Really intimidating. Even when they're sleeping, they're just so big. You see all the muscles and everything like that. And you think, wow, God created those things. That's incredible. You see, Army likes bears. His nickname is Army Bear. He likes bears. Kyrie likes all the weird things. He likes mole rats. He likes bats. He likes things like that. Things that Rachel's not too fond of. So Rachel has to put up with this whole different side of the zoo that she wants to go and see the elephants and the giraffes and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, no, things that can kill me. Kyrie, no, things that are disgusting. Army, no, the bears. And she's like, why can't we just be a normal family at the zoo? So what has this got to do with what I'm saying tonight? I'm going to be talking about Daniel tonight. We're going to be looking at Daniel and the lion's den. But first, I'm just going to pray and we can get focused in on that. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can trust it. Thank you that we can build our lives upon it. Thank you that it's consistent, that it's strong. Lord Jesus, help it to convict us tonight. Help us to be changed when we leave. Clear out my words. Let yours remain, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, we'll be looking at Daniel 6, 10 to 23. I'm just going to read it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and made supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. When the king heard these words, was sore displeased himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute with which the king established may be changed. You can't change it. You've made it. You can't change it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a cry. I'm really hoping he does, because I didn't want to do this, but I have to. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. A stone, huh? That sounds familiar. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He could not sleep. He could not rest. He didn't have his comforts. He fasted. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God have sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him in innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. Everyone knows this story, right? Everyone knows it. That's why I didn't do the first part. I just kind of wanted to focus on those middle chunks there. But there's a lot of stuff we could kind of pull out and apply to our lives today in this story, in this account of Daniel. And I always have these questions. I have friends who are non-Christians, and they come up to me and say, well, did Noah actually build the ark? Well, was Jesus actually crucified? Well, was Daniel actually thrown into a den of lions? And I kind of look at it and I go, we know back in those times, and even today, people could and would use whatever they could to lay down the law, right? If there was a stone on the ground, that was your punishment. It's just what happened. With the previous ruler, it was death in the fire, because that's what he had, right? With the Romans, it was the cross. So lions isn't really too far-fetched. We know that gladiators would fight fierce beasts in the arenas, and people would cheer and applaud, and whoever was left over would be fed to the lions. They were around. Daniel being thrown into the pit, a den of lions. And even nowadays, it looks a little bit different. Things have changed. But there are still measures used to lay down the law. Punishment comes to people in power really easy because they have a lot of things around them, right? So, let's see if this works. Boom, Daniel looking at the lions, telling them off, don't you come near me. I love these pictures because they're just the casual arms behind the back in front of a whole pack of lions. They're like, meh, I'm not fussed. I don't know what Daniel was thinking, but I mean, I would have been a little bit scared. So, but Daniel knew what he was doing, right? The whole thing about this account right here says that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, right? The decree was signed, it was formed, it was delivered, it had gone to the Senate, it got voted in by the government, it went to the president, he put his stamp of approval on it, and it was signed. And yet Daniel knew this. He still went home, and he still prayed. Not just once. And this is the thing I love. It's not just a one time, oh, I'm going to see if I can get away with this. This is what I do, and I do this consistently. I do it 3 times a day. I do it on my knees. I do it away from people. Not because I don't care if you see me, but actually because it's between me and God. Daniel knew what he was doing. He knew the law, the new law that meant anyone who prayed to any other god or human apart from King Darius should be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel knew that praying to his God would get him into trouble. He remembered the persecution his people had faced under Nebuchadnezzar, and he knew that the Persians could be just as ruthless. See, Nebuchadnezzar, I love the name because lots of people pronounce it different ways. That's how I pronounce it, probably saying it wrong. I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar. Try and say it fast 3 times. It kind of gets confusing. But he was a bit of a bad guy in the Old Testament, right? He conquered Jerusalem twice. He destroyed Solomon's temple. And he took many Jews captive. Like, he was a bad guy. He just conquered. So Daniel knew this. He knew history. He knew what had happened before. And he knew that ruthless nature just doesn't just stop. It's going to continue in some form. So him going against the new law, he knew he was probably not going to get away with this. And then you had people coming up against him as well. You had people coming up against him trying to catch him out. But picture this. And I love this. And I shut my eyes and I kind of thought about this. Daniel calmly walking up to the upper floor of his house. Just slowly, just calmly, knowing exactly where he's going because he goes there 3 times a day. There's some little divots in the ground because he's so committed, you know. He cast open his windows and faced the remnants of God's temple in Jerusalem. And he gets down on his knees, knowing the danger that he was going to be in. Gets down on his knees to defy the king and pray to God. He prayed even though he knew it was going to put a target on his back. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed, and he prayed some more. Daniel prayed. He talked to the Father and put his hope and trust in him more than the laws put in place by the king. And we can say, well, isn't that pretty similar to what we're doing right now? We're wanting to meet in churches. So we should just get into back into churches. Well, you know what we should be doing? Pray, 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 pray. Pray, pray, pray. Another good one. He's completely ignoring the lions in this one. It's great. He doesn't even care that they're there. First one, he was telling them off. This one, he's not even paying attention to them. It's like a child in the corner throwing a tantrum. But, you know, Daniel didn't just know the danger he faced. He also knew the promises of God, the promises of his Lord. As a boy, Daniel had heard the stories of God's great protecting hands. Noah to Moses to David, Daniel remembered when three of his friends had been thrown in a fiery furnace and emerged unharmed. Now an older man, Daniel could look back and see God's guidance in his own life. God's promise is so much bigger than any threat we can ever come up against. Ever. I think I missed a click. Knew the law, knew the promises of the Lord. That's not very clear. I apologize for that. But Daniel knew this. Daniel lived by this truth that any opposition that he came up against, God was bigger. God was stronger. God was faithful. God would be with him. So, then the human side comes in. What if it fails? What if, what if, what if? How could the same God who had sustained him to this point fail him, right? He was confident. He knew God. He knew the promises of God. He knew the history. He knew how he acted. He knew his character, that God is faithful, consistent, everlasting, loving, gracious, merciful, and all these things. That's why he knew. That's why he was so confident. So after Darius throws Daniel into the lion's den, an angel protected Daniel throughout the night. Daniel walked away without a single scratch, and the Lord was worshipped throughout Persia. Incredible. Sorry for any spoilers, you know. I should have said that. But again, this is a well-known story. My kids know this story. They say it to me often. They act it out in skits. It's hilarious. But the question always comes up. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but I thought about it. What if God didn't protect Daniel? What if? Would Daniel have been any worse off? If God had chosen that moment to bring his faithful believer to heaven and chose another to proclaim his power to Persians and to Persia, Daniel's eternal fate would have been the same. He still called out to God. He still put his faith and trust in Jesus, his Lord back there. And that's the truth. Daniel's eternal fate would have been the same. But God so happened to use this opportunity to open people's eyes and to change history. He trusted in God and he stood firm in his faith. The miracle of personal faith. The greatest miracle with Daniel, in my opinion, and you may have a different one, is not the fact an angel came down and shut the lion's mouths. Because, well, I'll get back to that. But it's actually, in fact, but it's the strengthening of Daniel's faith to face certain death in order to proclaim the Lord's name. It's not about the lions being mouth shut. It's the fact that he was able to say, going to do this anyway, whatever happens. But it's easy to just focus on the angel, because angels are miraculous. There's these things that come down from heaven, sent by God to give us a message or to protect us or to do whatever, guide us to a stable in the middle of nowhere to help us meet the Savior. whatever it is. Angels are miraculous. Not taking anything away from angels. Jesus, I love angels. It's okay. But we know that Jesus could have said one word and an army of angels would have been there, right? We know angels spoke to the shepherds. We know angels spoke to Mary, to Joseph, and to so many other people in the Bible. Angels. There's lots of them. There's things happen. God sends them down. Again, angels are miraculous. And the fact that God would send angels to deliver a message to us is miraculous. Even in that, the mercy and love that comes with that. The miracle is the strength of Daniel's faith in this. A man that could have wavered and said, actually, lions, I'm out. You know, fiery furnace, okay, who do I have to say I praise now? You know, let me sign up over here instead. Getting stoned in public, getting beaten to death, getting put on a cross, okay, let me sign on to the other team. But no, his faith, he stood firm. As soon as the writings were done, as soon as the decree was signed, he was praying. There doesn't seem to be like a split second after that. He was like, well, my mind's made up. I have to pray to God. That's the only thing I can do. My prayer this evening is that God may grant us the same faith to us as we face ridicule and persecution, temptations, and even the situation that the world's in right now. That strengthening of our faith. Hello. Every time I turn left, watch out on Sundays. It's kind of weird. But think about that. Oh. I didn't touch anything. Hello. Think about that. Think about if we all had the same faith as Daniel. Faith that we could go into a lion's den and know God is either going to protect me or I'm going home. How would our lives be different? How would things change in our minds? In our hearts? How would we act? How would we speak to people? How would we love people? Everything would change. Because actually, I'm going home. Whether this goes well or whether this goes well, I'm going home, right? Because actually, in both situations, heaven. Man. I love this about Daniel. Because it's just that as soon as the writings were signed, he's up in his upper room. He's away from the crowds. He's away from the public. He's getting his prayer time in. And I'm going, wow, Daniel, the nerve of you. But wow, the faith. That's incredible. Now the king's noticed that Daniel's still down there and he's asking about scratches. The lions are all pretty chilled. So, application. Pray. The very act that went against the law of the king was the very thing that Daniel needed to do. He needed to do it. When things changed and times got tough, Daniel turned to the one who he knew had the answers. The one he knew that he can trust in. The one that he knew was God. It wasn't the king. It wasn't the piece of paper. It was God. He prayed. 3 times a day, he prayed. On his knees, looking at that destroyed temple, he prayed. Get in your prayer closet. Get your time with God every day. Get that sweet hour of prayer. Walk around your backyard or garden or whatever you want to call it and just talk to Jesus. It is so important that we do that. Do not let a day go by without talking to God. One day could... It's so lonely, you know? God's always there. But the world may look at us and think that it is weird that we go and do these things. Why do you go to church on a Sunday? Why are you suited and booted on a Sunday morning? Why are you going on a Wednesday night? Why are you going to a children's carnival? Why are you doing a youth group? Why? This is so weird, strange, abnormal, different. But that's because as the world closes its grip on things that they are unsure of, we must hold firm with our convictions. We must stand firm in our faith. and in the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus our Lord. Because the world doesn't understand it. They need to see it. They need to see it. And what the world doesn't know is that if the followers of Christ grow silent, his creation will cry out. The rocks will cry out. And I got kind of really emotional when I was watching the news, and Governor Newsom in California had asked churches to stop singing. And I thought, wow, that's really arrogant. You know, that's really crazy because you don't understand what that means. You're asking creation to stop worshiping the Creator. You know, you're asking us to stop worshiping our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. And I'm like, if we stop worshiping him, something else is going to start, and then we're going to lose out on worshiping God. And it's such a privilege to be able to do so. And it's such a privilege to be able to follow him. Do not grow silent. Get your sweet hour of prayer in. Spend time with God. Share your heart with him. Allow him time to speak to you. Train yourself to listen. Something that is great about Daniel is that he prayed, as I've already said, 3 times a day. He was disciplined. He knew when he was going to do it. He knew that he was going to get it 3 times in every single day. How did the guys catch him in the act? Because they knew he was going to do it at those exact times. You know, he was disciplined. He had trained himself to be able to do these things and know, actually, this is important enough to do it. It was something that mattered to him. And he didn't do it for people to see and to be like, wow, look how holy Daniel is. But actually, he did it on his own, for his own personal relationship with God. And I'm reminded to not trust, or just not to rely on things that will just fade away, but trust in the everlasting, right? Trust in God, which is my second one. Trust in God. Remember his promises. I've been doing this for a long time now, actually. On my phone, I have a little note folder. At home, I've got a little diary. On my computer, I've got a little Word document. This happened today. God really blessed me with this. And actually, remembering those blessings, remembering when God's promises have come true, remembering when you see God's hand in your life, wow, that's an encouragement in those tough times. But remember that God has brought you and I this far, right? And he will keep going. God is going to keep going whether we are here or not. God is all powerful, almighty, all loving, all merciful, and he just so happens to want us to be part of his family. He's brought us this far. So I encourage you to keep a blessings journal or a notepad with some blessings written down on there. Write down God's promises. Write down how he has blessed you. Because actually, in those times when you're doubting, you can turn back and say, actually, I know that God did this when. And actually, when I was really down and out, God did this. And actually, God protected me here and blessed me with this and brought me this far and so on and so forth. And read the promises of God. The testimonies of God. Read your Bible. Read the promises that come through in here. Prophecies that are fulfilled of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection. All those things. You're kind of going, wow, this is just another thing that God promised. And it happened. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that. That we can trust in it. So trust that God is in control even when you don't see it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I like to think that Daniel was in the lion's den and he's staring them down. He's going, oh, okay, every time I move, the big one moves this way. And every time I move, the big one comes this way. And he's there going, ah, well, God said he's going to be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is in front of me, by my side. He is with me always. And that's what pushed him through. That's what helped his faith. That's what drove him to be so committed. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I like to see it. But even when you're staring into the lion's eyes, and even when you have Goliath right before you, even when you have to make the decision to stand firm for Christ, knowing that God is never going to leave you, wow. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God will keep on rescuing his people. In Army and Kyrie's Bible, little kid version, they have this great little ending to this story, and it says, "And the time was coming when God would send another brave hero like Daniel, who would love God and do what God said, whatever it cost him, even if it meant he would die." And I always think, wow, what a great way to point that back to Jesus. Someone who's willing to go into the shadows, into the dark, into the dangerous places and be able to say, actually, I've arisen again from death to life. The last one, the truth helps us to stand firm in hard times. When it gets rocky, when times get rough, stand firm. Do what Daniel did. Pray. Stand firm. Believe in God. Believe in the creator of the whole world. Believe in the God who created us, who knows every single detail about us. Every single hair on you has been counted by him. How significant, how special, how loving. Believe in God who healed the sick. Believe in God who walked this earth. Believe in Jesus who died on the cross. Believe in Jesus who rose again. Believe in Jesus who loves you so, so much. That is the God that Daniel believed in. That is the God who we follow now. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Guys, it's really tricky, because when you read stories like this, I always find people try to say, what's your lion's den? Well, what dangerous place are you being lowered into? But I honestly don't think it's about that. I think what they're trying to say there is, King Darius has his way of punishing people. That was his favorite way to do it. For me, it's more about the commitment, the prayer time, the discipline, the 3 times a day talking to the Father. And maybe I'm way off, but maybe I'm not. But that's kind of how I see this. A call to keep praying, to work on your relationship with Jesus Christ, to not let a day go by without you talking to your Creator. So guys, I encourage you, pray, pray, pray. Trust in God. Stand firm in the hard times. These are hard times. When we're being separated, when we're being pushed apart, when we're being asked to do things that we're not wanting to do, when decrees are being signed. But the only thing we can do is pray. So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for Daniel's faith. God, thank you that we can look in the Bible and see amazing people who stood up and prayed to you in times of danger, in times of need, in times of imprisonment and crying out in fear and pain and whatever situation it was, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can take great examples from your word. God, I pray that you help us to get fully rooted in this Bible and in your word, Lord Jesus. Help us to get disciplined in talking to you every single day. Lord Jesus, I pray for our hearts now. I pray that we open them up to you fully. We allow you to be who you truly are, an amazing King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of the whole world. God, let that be true in our hearts and in our lives as well. In your name I pray. Amen.